It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I am here, as always, with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
I was thinking we should change the name of the show to Bread Time Stories. Where's my banana? Where's my banana? She hollered round the room.
You know, maybe we'll put it up for a vote. Do we? No, we are.
No, it would work because we have 11 listeners, and so it would be one way or the other. It wouldn't be a
Oh,
tie.
that's right. You have to have an odd number.
Yes.
They are an odd number, I'm pretty sure. I'm guessing. Well, you know, the sun was shining moments ago in downtown Astoria, but right now, I don't know what's going on out there. I don't
It's
know.
still nice. It's
It's
still nice.
balmy.
Yeah, I know. What a lovely day.
I know. I hope it is a lovely day wherever you are. Now that we are planet-wide on Coast Radio, you never know who you're talking to and what the weather's doing there.
We could be in the middle of the ocean.
We could.
That was my underwater. That was my underwater radio voice.
What about cooking on a boat?
Oh, I don't know if I'd be good at that because I have to take my weight in Dramamine before I really even step on anything that's smaller than an ocean liner. So, and it makes me loopy. So I'd be all like, "Woohoo, Captain Crunch and beef tenderloin!" You know, it'd just be one of those kind of chopped kind of deals for me. Have you cooked on a boat?
Oh, well, n just you know, a pleasure boat, not a. I was thinking more of being a part of a crew. I can't quite wrap my brain around that, but it might be
No.
fun, actually. I don't get seasick, so that's helpful.
See, you're one of those people, though. Everything's fine. You're so glass half full.
I
You
am.
are. I think it's a lovely thing.
Well, I don't. I think it's genetic. I don't think we're responsible for that. We either come, you know, it's either a stock option on in us when we appear off the assembly line.
The
We're
box
either,
was checked.
yeah, right. You either have a reasonably, ridiculously unsupportable optimistic attitude, or you're a realist. Those are the two
A
things.
realist.
Those are your two choices. Hey, so before we get sucked into what are we cooking lately, I want to make sure that everybody saves the date in August because the fabulous Natelle Grange, fabulous in the way that all Granges are, is having a fundraiser in August. It's the 19th. And part of that fundraiser is a pie auction. And you and I are going to auction. We're not only going to bake pies along with many other people, but we're going to auction pies. And we
Come
really
on,
would
who will give me
like.
20? Who will give me 20? Drop me ice your dagger. 25, 25. Who will give me 25? I'm faking, I'm faking, I'm faking.
And bacon.
Oh, bacon and
So
faking.
we want to make sure that at minimum our 11 fans show up.
Please.
Yeah.
Does it help if we beg, please?
So we will have more detailed information as we approach the time, but we're just telling you right now on August 19th, clear your calendars, would you please? Because it is a very worthy cause, and also because Linda and I would love to see you there, and we would love to sell you a pie.
Well, and it's such a fun Grange.
It's beautiful. I
I
love
had
it.
a party once at the Only Grange, which is just, I think, smaller and it doesn't have quite as many members. And so many people, just because it was a party, went to the Natal Grange and then they called me and they're like, "You're not here." And I'm like, "That's right."
Only is not known as the Party Grange,
Nope,
apparently.
it's the Natal Grange.
It is. And they have a very cool kitchen there. I've done several things there in the kitchen. And I don't know. I'm a big fan of Granges in general. I think that they're worthy of our.
Support.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's that, and we'll continue to mention that. And so what are you cooking lately?
Well, I am confident in saying that at this given moment, I am 65% Barry. It hasn't been so much cooking as eating.
Yeah, well, it's the season. Man, it's the
Yeah,
season.
I've been making a lot of jam, and I've been doing that low sugar recipe where you use that different pectin, and I just like it better. It's just not quite as sweet, and just Gosh, I wish that things in nature had been arranged differently because the peaches are good now. I
Yes.
know that you sing songs about peaches every year because you love them so much, but they get ripe at the same time as the berries.
I
And how
know.
much can one person
I
eat?
know. It's the same with all of the stone fruits,
Yeah.
from cherries through plums and nectarines, and it's the same with melons.
Yeah.
And
Everything all at once.
I will tell you that I am doing a personal research project to answer that question, how much can one person eat? So I'll get back to you on that because I'm
Go,
doing my
Marianne. Go, Marianne. Eat your weight in berries. Eat your weight in berries.
At least my weight and several other people. I'm compelled.
The whites of my eyes are purple.
It's hard to beat this season.
I was thinking about black caps, you know, black cap raspberries. Oh,
yes.
I just love them so much. And you know what I think they are? I think they are to the berry world what Concord grapes are to the grape world.
Oh.
They're just that. They're so packed with flavor and delicious and dark, and I just love them. And that's my simile for the day.
All right. All right. You know, I don't see, unless you know somebody growing Concord grapes, or I don't see a lot of easy to find,
no,
you know, just grapes that you can buy. And I remember them from my youth because we had them in the backyard.
The only guy I know is that guy at the Sunday market named John with the big straw hat. He's really
He has Concord grapes.
Yeah, really a nice, amicable guy. And yeah, he'll have them later. And that's the only place I know. I wonder if the co-op ever gets them.
I think that they do. I think that's the only place I've ever found them, just on a shelf. And I don't know exactly what the prime season is. I think we might not be quite there yet.
No, I know. I know it's more summer, fall.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think that the advent of ripe melon, stone fruits, and berries is really the announcement of summer, way more than any specific weather condition or calendar date or anything. Once you get a really ripe berry, you know it's summer. Mm-hmm. So delicious. So I'm working on some peach ice cream, and you're working on a whole lot of, specifically a variety of blackberries, right?
Yeah. I got a berry buddy in the valley, and he called this morning, and he says, I got a problem. He just has a bunch of berries early, too early for the cannery to take them.
Were you gleeful at his misery?
You know, I have to say that empathy may not be my strong point, because he's like, I'm in a bind, and I'm like, woohoo! But yeah, so I'm going to go up to the valley and get all the berries for all the jam for the bake sale for the animal shelter in December. Last year, we sold 87 cases. We hope to sell more this year.
And that wasn't even counting the pies. You made pies.
Yeah. You berry pies, about 100 berry pies. And so just all the berries for that. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
All my friends are starting not to make eye contact with me.
It's that time of year. Well, if you don't want to see Linda coming, you know, it must be, we're in summer and she's going to ask you to bake something. You know she is.
Berry packaging.
Oh my gosh.
All my friends have purple fingers.
Well, tell us, go ahead and admit on the radio how many pounds.
Nope, I can't.
Oh.
No, it's like asking a lady how much she weighs. I'm not going to tell.
Lots.
I might have a problem.
I'm sorry, Linda,
let's
but
say
not knowing the number of pounds is not going to save you from us knowing you have a problem.
I will tell you, I'm going to need to bring more than one truck.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we can all look forward to many opportunities to support wonderful local nonprofits who need our help. And as a thank you for that support, eating fabulous blackberry jam, blackberry pies, and a million other things. But
yeah, that same weekend that you and I are auctioneering the pie auction is the bake sale and fundraiser. And I make all the jam and bread and pies for the bake sale for the Angels of Sarah Sanctuary. And that's that that place that we have here out on the back road to Seaside where the woman that runs it, Jackie, she takes all the old seeping, oozing, pussy, smelly dogs, big dogs from the shelter, that no old ones that nobody will adopt. It's like a hospice. And she takes them out there, and then they have a big field, and they have comfy couches, and they can not live their last days in a cage. They go out there. And so that's a really nice place. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great, it's really a wonderful facility and a worthy cause.
Yeah.
If you're a dog lover, or even if you aren't, even if you just
want
appreciate
jam.
The work that people do. Yeah.
Or if you
just
want
jam. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. But during the day.
Okay.
So you can do both.
You can do both. I am unaware at this instant about the time frame for the Natel Grange thing, but we'll get it for you. And yes, of course you can do everything. Of course you can.
Do 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 do. Super mom? Sort of.
Sort of.
So you said you were doing something with ice cream?
Did it's peach season.
Yeah.
I really, really, really like peaches.
Yeah.
And like blackberries, there's a ton of kinds of peaches. But I was doing a little research because of a food column that I write about peach ice cream, which normally I would just put peaches in vanilla ice cream. Sorry. You have to talk for a minute.
Okay, so she said the word vanilla. And what that does is it gets the hackles up on the back of my neck because it's so dang expensive. You all know that.
Yes, and we've talked about making our own, right?
Yes. And so I did that. I actually, even as vanilla beans get even more money, I think I'm always going to make my own now because I love the flavor so much better. I just do.
I like it too. And
yeah.
And also it's available.
I mean,
we can have it. But also I don't really see the price of vanilla ever. I think that we have seen the cheapest it's ever
going
to be.
Yeah. And they're not going to lower it now that they know it can be higher.
No, because can't live without it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
Somebody told me so many of the big corporations are going towards all natural, you know, that's a selling point for them, especially children's breakfast cereals and stuff like that. And to be all natural, they have to have natural vanilla. So the demand is hurt, and then the demand is so much greater and the supply is hurt, and so the price is just going to stay high.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, so we like making our own vanilla, which you have told us before is just the cheapest vodka you can possibly find in a jar with a little headroom so you can shake it, and some vanilla beans.
Yeah.
And you just, and they don't, they can be the B grade vanilla beans. They don't have to be the most expensive, fancy ones that you would scrape and put into your baked goods.
Yeah.
So I discovered another peach ice cream that has no vanilla. Yay, you would like that.
Really?
And it's not vanilla ice cream. It's just heavy cream and peaches, and you puree them.
Okay.
You go ahead and scald the cream and let it cool, and then puree the peaches and stir them in with a little bit of sugar, like a third of a cup of sugar for a whole quart of ice cream.
Wow. Do you take the skin off the peaches?
Yeah.
Okay.
You scald them really quick.
Okay.
And then you can, if for eight peaches, you would puree six of them and then maybe fine dice a couple of them and fold it in at the end. Or if you don't like chunks, you can puree them all and then just freeze it up.
Man, I love peach ice cream.
I know. I do too. At the Food Web, we've been making ice cream sandwiches with, because, kids camp.
Yeah.
And so we make ice cream, and then we make some sort of cookie, and then we make ice cream sandwiches for dessert some days at kids camp. And they're wildly popular and only moderately messy.
Yes. You all go stand in the street and eat these.
That's right. Here, take them home. Here's one to go on your way out the door.
Put it in your pocket.
Yeah, they're very fun. Anyway, so what else? I've been cooking fabulous things from Elemento.
And
because of that, I have been making, which is a meal kit service, a local meal kit service done by a local person with all local food. And because of that, I am cooking a lot of things that I would not normally cook because we get stuck in little, I think you're more experimental than I am. I'm usually
I get in ruts. Poor Dale. Poor Dale.
I get in ruts, and I think my biggest problem is that I'm thinking about what's for dinner 5 minutes before we should be eating dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, last night we had a quinoa salad with beautiful local greens and fresh herbs and cracked coriander, chicken breast kind of coated in cracked coriander and seared. Yeah, it was really, and just citrus juice for, and some olive oil for a dressing. It was really good. It's salad season. Definitely.
Numb.
Yeah, I know. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And when we're talking about food, Linda and I, we are encouraging you to go to northcoastfoodweb.org. I think you might also find that link at coastradio.org because there is a recipe, and we try a recipe link there, a tab, and we try to get our recipes up there as much as possible.
Well, Dale and I were up in the city, and we stopped at a big grocery store up there, but I got some riblets, some rib tips, you know, like just those little teeny tiny ones,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I hadn't really ever seen them for sale around here. Maybe they are, but I'd just never seen them. And I barbecued those up. They were okay. They're thin, and they were cooked, but they were, it's not that they were chewy, they just weren't kind of fall off the bone. And I think that they're too thin to get that way, that they would dry out first. So,
right.
So I looked online, and somebody was talking about Applebee's because they serve literally millions of pounds of those every year. And so they grill them, barbecue them, but then they steam them. And I just didn't want to fire up the oven that day. It was a hot day. I didn't want to fire up the oven. Uh-huh.
With ribs in general, are you doing some sort of pre-cook?
You know, I don't, because I really like that grilled flavor. Now, those ones that I made you, that was the first time I had ever used my new grill. And I could either get it too hot or not hot enough. And so that's why those were weird and pasty.
They were delicious.
And weird and pasty. But, because I was meeting a friend at the farmer's market at the Food Web at 2:30, I had to stop cooking them. And so anyway, apology. But what I do is I try to get my grill around 250 degrees, not higher than 250 degrees, but as close as I can get it. And then I just put some seasoning salt and a little bit of vegetable oil or olive oil on the ribs. And then I just turn them every 15 minutes. I like baby back ribs. That's just what I like. And so I just turn them every 15 minutes. And it usually takes about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes. And then they get up around 188 degrees. And they're really tender. And then just the last 5 minutes, I'll sauce both sides, let it cook for 5 minutes, sauce both sides again, you know, lightly, kind of lacquer it, and then let it grill for 5 more minutes. And I take them off, and I really like them that way.
What are you doing for sauce?
So I reach in the cupboard.
Well, there's all kinds of styles of sauce.
Yes, there are.
And
I am like a mailbox. I am indiscriminate.
I am too where it comes to barbecue sauce. Yeah. But I got to say, if somebody said to me, you can only ever have one kind of barbecue sauce.
Oh, what would it be?
It would be the North Carolina style, really
okay.
Dark, brown sugary,
okay. Yeah.
Vinegary, you know.
Yeah.
The kind that ruins everything you're wearing. That kind. I love Carolina barbecue, and my apologies to all family and friends in Texas, where I lived for a long time. Although I'm a native Oregonian, but I was in Texas for a long time, and I gotta say, they pride themselves on, well, you know, Texans, they pride themselves on every darn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But they pride themselves on their pit barbecue, and it is really delicious. But mm-hmm. I would have to choose Carolina barbecue.
You know, but there's that thing about barbecue, how everybody's so secretive. I don't like that. I mean, I don't. It's just, I don't think it's the right way for cooking to be. People should share information, and everybody's so, you know, oh, our secret sauce, our secret rub.
Yeah.
I understand that there's competition, but it's weird how just barbecue got that way. Like there aren't, you know, I mean, there's pie sales and stuff, but people, I just don't know anything else. Do you, that people are like that way about?
I'm trying to think if that people are so protective and territorial about. Mm-hmm. Aside from, you know, like where they're finding the truffles and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
and the chanterelles.
But, yeah.
But recipe-wise, I'm not sure, although there was that Neiman Marcus cookie thing years ago.
Do you think that's real?
Oh, probably not.
I don't know
either. And also, I've had cookies from that recipe, and you know.
They're cookies.
Meh.
Yeah, same
right.
thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yay, it was a cookie.
Yeah.
If If Marianne was here, she'd put ice cream between two of them.
I so totally would. Oh my gosh. Any kind of cookie. Yeah. Any kind of cookie can be elevated by a little ice cream. I'm sorry, Oreo, but ice cream would be better.
Yes.
Which there... makes me remember.
What?
You know how you have things from your youth that mm-hmm. you remember fondly and never make?
Perhaps you remember my confession from last week about the Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I do. I do.
I got a letter from the food web. No, just kidding.
You will not mention that again.
I know, no. I know. Just
we
kidding.
Would never
no,
say
no,
that.
No, 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 no. Just kidding. No, nobody said anything. I just got looks.
Yeah. I'm not sure they were macaroni and cheese related. Anyway,
yeah.
One of the things
it
that
was my purple eyes.
It was your purple yeah. eyes. We're just concerned about
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
One of the things my mom used to make that I don't know, I just have such fond memories of, and probably were I to make it, I would be bitterly disappointed, and so I have never. Mm-hmm. But she used to buy these little thin chocolate wafers in a
okay.
in a tube. They were little chocolate cookies, but they were thin, and she would make a really whipped cream that was stiff peaks, mm-hmm. and then layer whipped cream, chocolate cookie, whipped cream, chocolate cookie until you have this big log.
Wow.
And you cover the whole outside of it with whipped cream. And then you, she used to roll it in wax paper because, you know, no plastic wrap. Mm-hmm. That's how old I am. And put it in the fridge and let it sit all day. And then when you get ready to serve it, you slice it off in slices and she would slice it kind of diagonally so you would get this pattern of chocolate cookie layers and whipped cream. And the cookie would get really soft. They started off as kind of crisps, but they would get really soft from being in the fridge all day with sweetened whipped cream. That was just so stinking delicious.
It sounds really pretty.
Yeah, it was just really good. It's probably that and the chocolate whipped cream angel food cake that my grandmother made every year for my birthday.
Aww.
I think that's where my weakness for whipped cream came. I could totally eat just plain whipped cream.
It was so cool when Marianne, her face when she said, and I didn't even have an egg in my ice cream. It was all whipped cream. She just lit up. You could tell.
Yeah. Ice cream with heavy cream and eggs.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah.
I think that's why we like premium ice creams, mm-hmm. you know, of all the weird brands out there. But if you go to buy ice cream, the ones with the heavy milk fat content are the ones that are just so fabulously mm-hmm. delicious.
Yep. And you all know that trick when you're making ice cream sandwiches, just to buy a pint of that ice cream that you love, bake your cookies kind of big, and then just put that thing of ice cream with the paper and everything on its side and just slice it up into discs. And then you don't have to have a giant fat thing of ice cream. You can have something that's kind of reasonable sized.
Yeah.
Nom.
I've never, well, you can also put them in the little white sandwich bag, not plastic sandwich bags, but little, like the parchment to-go sandwich bags.
Okay.
And stick them in the freezer and then...
Oh, after you make them.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
And then they're just ready to go. Because it's summer and we're going to be eating outdoors. We're going to have... summer is messy food season because you get to eat outdoors. You can eat corn on the cob that's dripping butter all over the place and ribs that are dripping sauce.
I've got a basket and I like this. I've got a basket and in that basket... I've got napkins, you know, paper napkins, paper plates, plastic silverware. Shoot me. And paper cups. Just I have everything that is disposable if I need to go outside in 1 minute because a bunch of people showed up. And a bunch of people have showed up this week, in case you're wondering. But yeah, and it's that I like just being able to grab that basket and not having to search for everything.
Have you seen the little wooden flatware?
Yeah, is it kind of the bamboo looking stuff? And
yeah,
it's biodegradable.
Actually, it's made out of wood. So
the first time I ever saw it was at the food web.
Yeah, and I like it more than for a bunch of reasons more than plastic. But one of the things is it's made out of scraps of alder or scraps of birch, usually birch, I think, from factories that make furniture or whatever, and then. Somebody uses the scraps to make forks, knives, and spoons, and they're cool. And you can actually, if you want to, use them a few times before they're done.
And they're sturdy.
Yeah, they're very sturdy. And they're sort of like the next step up from the old school little Dixie cup spoons that we used to get. They were wooden before they gave you a plastic one.
Yes.
So, yeah, I really like those. And I use them when I'm just can't face doing
dishes.
Yeah,
yep.
For doing dishes for 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
You outside with your food.
That's right. Here's your fork.
Yes.
Off you go. Well, fresh squeezed lemonade, which I was thinking about the other day. I love fresh squeezed lemonade, and it's such a summertime drink. But oddly, it is not citrus season in the summer. So
I know.
Lemons are at their most expensive. Yeah. They've always been shipped in from somewhere.
You know, speaking of peaches, which you weren't, you were talking about lemons, but they're round. Speaking of peaches, something that I really like to do is brew up a bunch of iced tea. So what I do is I'll take maybe enough tea for 10 you know, servings of tea, and then maybe enough boiling water for four. So I've got a really intense or concentrated iced tea. And then in my handy dandy blender, I put maybe four or five peaches and I puree them up. And I mean, puree them up. And then I add that to the cooled condensed tea, and then a bunch of ice, like a lot of ice, and then that melts too. And then if I need to dilute it, I do. And if I need to add a little sugar, I'll actually add simple syrup. And but I really, really like that. Just peach iced tea, and I think it's delicious.
It's a tea blini.
A tea blini.
That sounds really good. Yeah. You know, you could probably do that with berries too.
Why, yes, you can.
And you might have a couple left over.
My friend Georgia, every year she steams berries and gets all the juice out of them and freezes that. And then they drink that with lemonade all year long.
Oh, that sounds great.
And so she puts about an inch and a half in the bottom of the glass and then she fills it up with lemonade. And that's what they drink. And I think it's really good for you, you know?
Yeah, and delicious.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and soon, I'm confident that pretty soon it will be warm enough that we will want iced drinks every day.
Yes.
But not so far.
Yeah.
We keep having these little teasy moments of warm weather, and then I put my sweater back on.
Have you done any barbecuing?
No, you know what? I am not a barbecue girl.
Oh,
I have
that's right.
No idea how to barbecue.
All right.
None. I have two little tiny toy grills that nobody who really grills like you would even bother with. But I have them because I have done fundraisers out in the, you know, wilderness and need to be able to grill whatever. But I don't know the first thing about grilling.
You made those grilled pizzas at the Food Web. Those were delicious.
Yeah, but
that's advanced grilling, grilling a pizza.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, gosh, I don't even think it counts. But they are good. I got to say, grilled pizzas are kind of like the best way to have a pizza. But in terms of grilling meats and that kind of thing, I just don't have any idea, nor do I have any idea about how to keep a charcoal grill going at the right temperature for something that needs to cook over a period of time. I think that's a highly developed skill, and I don't have it. I do not have it.
Well, yesterday I did a bunch of grilling. I've got a neighbor who had a lot of family in town, about 30 people, and I offered, she didn't ask me, I offered to help her grill so that she could enjoy her family more. But I got there, and you know how, like, when you're having a party, you're like, oh, they're going to eat so much. And she had 4 pounds of hot dogs, 4 pounds of bratwurst, and 25 pounds of ribs.
Whoa.
I know.
For how many people?
For like 29 people. I know. And I was just like, okay, I'll just start the day before. And
wow.
It was really something. It was a lot of stuff. I mean, it was a lot of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. So. Well, you were at my house recently, you and poor Dale and a few other friends.
Poor Dale.
And I had marinated some flank steak for a couple days ahead of time. We're going to have flank steak tacos. And I have the kind of stove that you can take the burners off and put a grill on.
Yeah, you don't need an outside grill.
Well, yeah, but I kind of do because I don't have gas at my house. I have electricity and it never really gets hot enough.
Same thing, my house, the gas doesn't go out there. And it's just, it's. You know, that's how good my life is. That's the saddest thing.
Yeah, really. I chose not to have gas when we did this house, but I But an electric grill is just doesn't fetch it. And fortunately, our friend Uriah was there, and he just went, "Give me a saute pan," and they turned out great.
Yes,
so.
They were really good.
Whatever it is you're cooking this summer, if you're looking for a recipe, go to coastradio.org. Go to northcoastfoodweb.org.
That's where the recipes are.
That's where the recipes are. And I think there's an ice cream recipe on there. But, you know, Linda, it's like not even a minute before 10 o'clock. I don't know what happened. I swear I never know what happened.
I didn't even get to talk about my awful tasting pasta salads. I have not given up.
What? All right. All right. Everyone, remind us. All 11 of you out there, remind us next time. We're going to find out all about Linda's awful pasta salads. Woo-hoo. Can't wait.